know, if health care reform was easy, it would have been done a heck of a lot longer ago.
Exactly. Listen, Ron, I want to get into the specifics of your proposal, but
yeah.
I guess one question that we've kind of been kicking around, and I think maybe a lot of people are wondering, is the wisdom, if you will, of trying to get this all done before the break. How realistic is that? And again, why, given the importance of this issue, why the haste?
Well, I don't think we're going to have health care reform on the House or the Senate floor before the August recess. This is very complicated. It is very important, and there are a lot of different moving parts to it, and members want to have an opportunity to look at it, scrutinize it, ask questions. We just did a 7-hour walkthrough of the legislation in its current form yesterday in the Democratic caucus, answering questions, going through line by line. And I think the American people would like a little bit more time to digest what reform we're proposing out here. So if it's going to happen, and I think it will, it's going to have to happen in the fall with a little bit more time, a little bit more work invested.
One more thing I want to touch on briefly. Depending upon, I guess, which side of the punditocracy you're listening to, this is either going to have the heavy hand of the insurance industry all over it, or it's going to be socialized medicine. My guess is it's going to be somewhere in between those two extremes.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's right now, it's the extremes that are really out there with their talking points and trying to scuttle the bill or whatever. But the fact is, the president says, listen, we're going to build on the existing system. If you have health employer-sponsored health care, you can keep it. But we have to do something with small businesses, family farmers, individuals, those who lost their jobs, in establishing a national exchange so that there is a menu of health plan options that they can go to, choose from, with complete transparency, so they'll know what benefits they get at what cost. And that is something that's been lacking in our health care system. And that, too, I think is going to be a very helpful development in making sure that more people have access to affordable health care with this reform.
All right, now to your proposal, and this is certainly something that people involved in the healthcare industry, particularly smaller hospitals in Wisconsin, understand very well.
Yep.
We've been talking about this in Wisconsin for the better part of a decade. So you've addressed the issue of, I guess, for lack of a better term, Medicare reimbursement disparities with a couple of things. Tell me about quality-based care.
Well, listen, I led discussions last week, negotiations, which I think led to a significant breakthrough as far as health care reform is concerned, in a way that's going to help bring costs down to make it more affordable for those who have health care and for those who don't have health care. And that's in changing the way we pay for health care in this country. Currently, we pay for procedures. And what we need to do is change by paying for performance. I mean, studies show that close to 30% of all healthcare spending in this country every year, up to $680 billion, is paid for care and treatment, tests and procedures that don't improve patient care. That's a tremendous amount of waste. That's the game changer that you have to get into and instead change the payment system so we're rewarding the quality of healthcare that's given, the value of healthcare, as opposed to the volume of healthcare. And we have to make this reform, especially if we're talking about including another 47 million Americans who don't have health care. You don't want to drop them into a health care system that's incredibly inefficient, where costs are rising, and which will bankrupt all of us if we don't do this fundamental reform. So the leadership agreed to making this payment change, which I think is going to drive, in great respects, how health care is delivered in our country. I mean, there's a reason why America is spending 2 to 3 times more per capita in healthcare spending than any other nation in the world, and yet we rank 37th when it comes to healthcare outcomes. It's because we're spending a lot of money on things that don't work. And what I negotiated last week is going to fundamentally change the way we pay for healthcare, making it more affordable for everyone in this country.
I want to ask you quickly about the healthcare delivery system in your part of Wisconsin, in the La Crosse area, southwest Wisconsin, because it's consistently been given high marks in terms of holding costs down while maintaining quality. Is it, I guess, places like La Crosse or as the president cited a couple of weeks ago, the Cleveland Clinic that can serve yep. as benchmarks for the kind of quality-based care you're talking about?
Well, this is the whole basis of why we can pay for value instead of volume, because we have providers, models of care that show how it's done. High-quality results, lower costs. It's in our area, Bob. It's the providers in Wisconsin. It's the Mayo Clinic system. It's Gunderson, Marshfield, and it's in other areas of the country, too, Intermountain in Utah, Geisinger, Pennsylvania. I mean, there are models of health care that have gone to a more coordinated, integrated, patient-focused health care approach, which brings costs down significantly yet improves the quality of care. That's the model we need should be striving for nationwide. And the way to do that is by changing the way providers are paid. And as long as we continue to pay for the volume of services given, there's going to be too much of an incentive in too many places of the country to practice volume medicine as opposed to value medicine. I know this works because it's working in our own backyard in Wisconsin, and it's something that the president recognizes. He's pointing to these as examples of where healthcare reform needs to go. And I think, again, based on what we negotiated last week, that the leadership agreed to, it's going to drive this reform that's going to lead to better quality results for patients at a much lower cost for Americans overall.
And lastly, let's talk briefly about addressing the geographic disparities.
Yes. Well, a large reason why we have geographic disparities is, again, because of this very issue. We've got providers in Wisconsin that are practicing value medicine, not volume medicine, and the dollars are really flowing to the volume of care that's given. And as long as our providers are focused on the patient, practicing value, they're not going to be paid as much. And there's where you have the huge difference in payments throughout the country. And if you move to a quality-based reimbursement system, as I'm proposing, that would alleviate that huge geographic variation that exists today. But the alternative is even worse, Bob. If we don't do this, our providers in our area, from Mayo to Gunderson to Marshfield and across the state, tell me that they're going to be forced to practice volume medicine in order to make more money. They don't want to do that. And yet the way the system is currently set up, it encourages doctors and hospitals to practice volume medicine, even though it leads oftentimes to worse results for the patients. So what I'm pushing and what we're proposing and what's agreed to in the healthcare reform, I think, is fundamental change. That it's going to have the focus on the patient, drive down costs so we can afford the healthcare system in this country. Otherwise, healthcare costs are going to outpace economic growth, and it will bankrupt families, it will bankrupt businesses, it will bankrupt public budgets, because we'll never be able to pay for the healthcare spending that's going to occur.
And last, here's the concern, because if these provisions, you mentioned the possibility of providers in Wisconsin and the Midwest being hurt if the reforms you're talking about don't make it into a final package. And that speaks to the worry of constituents and people who are involved in the healthcare industry that whatever the final package is, it is actually going to make things worse off for individuals and perhaps for their providers as well.
Well, Bob, I think the president was exactly right last week. There are really two healthcare reform packages that are pending before us right now. One is the reform that we've been working on, including value-based medicine that I've been promoting. The other is the status quo. We already know what the status quo is going to bring. It's going to bring an additional 14,000 Americans every single day losing their healthcare coverage in this country. Double-digit premium increases for as far as the eye can see, and an exploding hole in our budgets at both the federal, state, and local level, because this is the fastest growing area of budgets today, rising health care costs. And so clearly the status quo is completely unacceptable, and that too is unsustainable. And that's why this reform is so important. And that's why I think getting back to the fundamentals, and that's reforming the way we pay for health care, is really the key, because if we don't do it, then we're not going to be able to afford putting another 47 million people into a very inefficient and rapidly rising expensive healthcare system that we have today.
Congressman Ron Kind, thanks very much for taking the time to talk about this issue today.
Hey, anytime.
All right. Thank you.
You bet.
Bye.
Bye-bye.